Being patient in a very impatient world. I want to ask you a question. I've asked this question before, and it bears repeating because I think reinforcement is how we learn. I want to ask you all today, is there anybody here this morning who's ever had a hard time being patient? Whoa. Wow. Okay. This message is just for you. Let me just tell you, I too struggle with patience. And if you don't believe me, you could ask my wife. Patience is a virtue that is being called through this scripture that we should have if we are followers of Jesus Christ. You know, I love art, and I have loved studying famous artists. I've been to art museums, both near and far, New York City, the Met, Europe, other parts of the world, Israel. I went to a great art museum in Jerusalem recently. I love studying the great masters like Rembrandt and Michelangelo and Da Vinci. And Da Vinci is an interesting character because Leonardo was not only just a painter and a sculptor, he was an inventor, he was a philosopher, he was a real Renaissance man who was way before his time. There are sketches of him actually drawing helicopters in the 15th century, parachutes, flying machines. Pretty incredible genius, if you will. Well, he had something to say about patience, and I'd like to read that for you, if I may. And these are his words, of course, translated from Italian into English. So he goes like this. No, he doesn't do that. He writes, "Patience serves as a protection against wrongs and clothes due to the cold." So he says patience is helps us with the cold with wrongs as clothing helps us with cold weather. "For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in your patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind." If you put on patience, wrongs will not be able to get to you. And I looked up that word vex because it's an old English word. Have you used vex lately? I don't think so. He's got one in his closet, whatever that is. But vex means annoy or to irritate or to anger or to exasperate. That's what impatience does. It annoys us, it irritates us, it exasperates us. Sometimes it even brings us to a place of even being angry with somebody else. And like Da Vinci, Paul is telling the Colossians, and he's telling us here in Patchalk this morning that we too must clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and especially patience. Now, for all of you who raised your hands that you're impatient at times, Paul's speaking to us. I looked up a definition of patience, and one of the definitions says, self-restraint that doesn't quickly retaliate against a wrong. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to retaliate right away. The person that cuts me off on Sunrise Highway. The person that cuts in the line in front of me. And you want to love them with a brick. I mean, love them with the love of Jesus. What do you do when somebody wrongs you? Same thing. How do you respond when there is a wrong that is committed against you, whether it's minor or moderate or major? How do you respond to that? Here's another definition of patience: the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. How do you deal with disappointment? Do you fall apart? Do you give up? Do you become angry, irritated, exasperated? Because things just didn't go your way or my way, and we get very hot under the collar. And Paul's asking this question. Now, friends, I don't make light of certain things. I bet there's people in this sanctuary this morning dealing with some very difficult circumstances in your life. I never just brush over those and make believe they're not real. I'm sure looking at a group such as yourselves this morning, some of you've got some heavy stuff on your plate this morning. And I realize that. And you're weary. And you're frayed around the edges. And it doesn't take a whole lot to push you over the edge because of what's going on in your life, the things that you're dealing with. And I get that. This is where this definition comes in. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is still in control. I didn't even get one amen out of that. God is still in control regardless of your circumstances. That whatever you're going through this morning, no matter how heavy it might be, and we don't make light of it, God is still God, and God is in control. So why is it so difficult to be patient? Well, it's difficult. Let me tell you why. It goes against human nature. We are born impatient. Did you realize that? Let me give you an example. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night, hungry or with a dirty diaper, that baby will scream and shout until it gets your attention, right? I don't think that baby sits back in the crib and goes, you know what? Mommy and daddy look really tired. And the last time mommy fed me, boy, she looked really worn out. So instead of crying at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to wait till 8 to give her a little bit more sleep. It doesn't work that way. A baby's going to cry at 2 o'clock in the morning, get you out of bed until you take care of that baby's needs. And so impatience, and I know it's kind of a little silly, but it's true. We are impatient from the time we are born. It's part of human nature. You see, it doesn't come easy to be patient. It's easier to be impatient because it's part of our nature, and I believe that to be true. It's like the man that his car conked out in heavy traffic at a red light, and he tried desperately to start his car. But the guy behind him just kept leaning on his horn, beep, 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 beep. He's trying to get this car started. So finally, the man in the car that conked out gets out of his car. He goes back to the driver who's honking his horn. He goes, listen, do me a favor. Go up and try to start my car while I lean on your horn. It's just ridiculous, some of the stuff that we witness in our daily lives regarding impatience. But you know something? Impatience is not only against human nature, it's against the nature of our culture today. We are a very impatient society. We don't live in a very relaxed atmosphere, especially in New York. It's fast all the time. I was in Starbucks the other day and I was getting a coffee, but I was waiting on this long line. I don't know why Starbucks is so slow, but it is. And we pay $19 a cup, but it's all right. And I'm on this line, and there's two cash registers open, and the one on the right open, and a woman who came through the back door went straight to the cash register. And all of us on the line were in shock. And so all of a sudden I said, Lord, keep me calm. Lord, keep me quiet. Lord, keep me patient. Because everybody in that line wanted to strangle this lady. The nerve of her to go straight to the line, and when she got up there, she ordered a mocha, woka, choka, boca, woka, hoka, hoka, double shot. I want a coffee, that's all, just a coffee. But she snuck before everybody else because maybe she was impatient. Stay calm, I said. You know, my wife and I have traveled all over the world, and I have witnessed some cultures that are less patient than we are, very rare. Most cultures are laid back, especially, and Jennifer, I know you just got back from Ireland. The Irish are kind of laid back. You know, they say if you ask an Englishman for directions, he'll direct you there, but an Irishman will stop and take you there. And they just don't understand why we Yanks, Americans, are so uptight all the time. And I had someone say that to me. How come you Yanks are uptight all the time? And I said, I don't know, but let's go. You're talking too much, Sean. We've produced a culture that is always in the fast lane. In fact, if you got my devotional this past week, I talked about that. Why don't you leave your house a little earlier and do some right lane driving for a change? Let all the speed demons go by you. Now, my wife will tell you I'm a left lane driver, but it's nice sometimes to get in the middle in the right lane and just let everybody else go crazy but you. We're a left lane, fast lane society. My wife and I went to a doctor's appointment a couple of weeks ago. It's in a high-rise building in Kew Gardens, and I'm in the elevator, and I see this guy running for the elevator, and you guys have done this, right? I held the door open for him. Guy said, thank you. He gets in the elevator. He pushes the button one floor lower than where the guy next to me was going. And the guy looked at me. I saw smoke coming out of his ears. You would have thought that we were going to stay in the elevator all day. And the guy hits that button. The door opens. He gets out. And the guy's really angry that he was delayed one floor. And I thought to myself, you are getting ready for a heart attack, pal. My goodness. You would have thought I was Satan incarnate in that elevator. And we both got off on the same floor. I went to the same doctor. And the whole time I was waiting for my wife, he was staring at me. You held that door open. So, oh my goodness. Man, if we don't get that 10-minute oil change, if we don't have instant coffee, if we don't have that 1-hour photo development, if our computer doesn't boot up instantly, our nose gets out of joint. I see some of you shaking your heads. You know who you are. When my wife and I lived in Florida, there was a church that took great pride. They actually had signs on billboards on 95. They said, our church offers a 22-minute service. We will get you out in 22 minutes or less. Don't get any ideas, okay? Some are saying, why don't we put up that billboard? 22 minutes, in and out, fast. Thank you, Jesus. And out the door. Hurry up, give me that communion. Now, how do you maintain and sustain peace in your life? Well, let me tell you, you do it by abiding in Jesus. That's how you do it. You see, we need to receive daily nourishment. By the way, this isn't a guilt trip that you got to get in your Bible every day, and if you don't, God's going to whack you. That's not the way it works. You go in the Bible because you want to go in the Bible. You want to read about the promises and the ministry and all of the things that Jesus did because whether it's the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. It speaks promise into our lives that gives us peace. You want to spend time communicating with God. Not because you have to, but because you want to. You just want to commune. I'm a father and I'm a grandfather. And I love when my kids and my grandkids speak to me and talk to me and confide in me because I'm a daddy and a grandpa, and I'm sure the moms and grandmas feel the same way. Well, God feels the same way about us. He wants to communicate with us. Worshiping like you're doing this morning. Fellowship with other believers. Being encouraged by the people around you. And so we want to abide in Jesus. That's one way we receive our peace. The other is, how do we develop patience in a very impatient world? Now listen, this is especially for someone out in this sanctuary this morning. For crying out loud, slow down. Slow down. You're going at a pace, 150 miles an hour every day. Even God rested on the seventh day. Even Jesus took time apart from the pressing crowds because they were always on top of him. He had to get away and be alone, even from his disciples. He had to get away from his disciples once in a while. Our bodies need it. Our minds need it, friends. Slowing down our spirit, man and woman, needs it. We just need some time to sit back, relax, and reflect on God and what He's doing and what He's calling for us in and through our lives. And let me tell you something. It's getting nice outside now. Why don't you go for a nice walk with soft music? Not Guns N' Roses, okay? But maybe some soft, tranquil music. Just walk in the neighborhood. Enjoy life. The birds, you don't even need the music. They're singing to you. Amen. Enjoy the creation. Go down to Sands Pit Marina where the ferry is. Sit back and look at the beautiful Great South Bay. Folks, we people pay money to vacation in our neighborhood. Go down and look at the beautiful creation of God. Watch a Little League game that your grandson, granddaughter, or son or daughter is not in. Just stop and watch a ball game and enjoy it. Read a book just for the fun of it. Four of you got books. I'm expecting you have them done by next week. I'm going to test you on it. Here's another thing. Don't get all upset over silly and dumb things where we turn a molehill or a speed bump into Mount Everest. Don't sweat the small stuff, gang. I could have easily let that woman at Starbucks ruin my day. I could have said, you know what, lady, you're going to hell, I'll tell you. With that Starbucks coffee, it's going to get hotter than that, I'm telling you. It's a speed bump, man. It delayed me like 30 seconds to let her just go without going crazy. But what about the ones that don't appear to be speed bumps, like a bad report from a doctor, or the loss of a job, or a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter who's on drugs, or an unfaithful spouse? I'm talking about the heavy things now. The loss of a loved one. Not the Starbucks coffee mocha choker thing, but real heavy duty stuff. What do we do then? The Bible says that there are some things that we just can't handle on our own. Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, and all those other doctors are not going to be able to help you. We need someone bigger than that to help us navigate through that terrible time in our lives. You know, when Moses and the Israelites were stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army that was breathing down their backs, you know what Moses told the people of Israel? He says, just be still. The Lord's going to fight this battle for us. And that's the key, my friends. When we're facing the impossible, don't be afraid. Stand firm in your faith. Your hopelessness is about to be removed, and the Lord will take on the fight for you. I'm sure there are people here who could testify to that. I know I can. Believe me. Be patient and be still. It's so critical that we be still and patient and wait upon the Lord, because at times, that's the only hope in the midst of our hopeless situation. I love the old hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and Elisa Hoffman wrote this beautiful hymn in 1887, right around the time this church was built, actually. And in the third verse, I want to read that verse for you. What have I to dread? What have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms? I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, when we lean on the everlasting arms, let me tell you what God does for us. He gives us a new set of eyes to see. So, that rude lady in Starbucks who jumped the line, how do I know her father's not dying in Brookhaven Hospital? And that's all she has on her mind. I don't know. I don't know what's going through her head. Is it worth going against her with impatience? You just pray for her and you say, Lord, she seems in a hurry. I don't know what's going on, but just be with her today. Protect her. And let me tell you something. When you pray that kind of prayer, all of a sudden things are lifted off of you that irritated you, made you angry, and made you impatient. That slow cashier at Stop and Shop, the kid working behind the counter, Maybe he's a high school student who stayed up all night studying for his finals and holding this job while he's going to school. Give him a little slack. Or what about an elderly person that's driving 15 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone in front of you? What do you do then? Let me tell you, a senior citizen who's up there in age deserves our respect, and give him or her a break rather than scaring them half to death by leaning on your horn, coming up alongside of them, and waving some kind of an Italian salute at them. We no longer sweat the small stuff. And when the big challenges come, we lean on those everlasting arms of God. And so the Apostle Paul says, church, don't resemble our culture. Don't resemble the ways of this world in which we live. Be different, he encourages us. He wanted the Colossians and for us to know this morning, clothe yourself every day with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness, but especially in this society, in this state, on this island, clothe yourself with patience. How? By abiding in Christ, slowing down, not sweating the small stuff, not being afraid, and when the tough times come, lean on those everlasting arms of God, and He'll see you through it, and He'll see me through it, and we'll be able to maintain patience in a very impatient world. Do you believe that? I do. I don't always practice it. I'd be a hypocrite if I told you that. There are times when I am very impatient. But when I can remember this, I have that peace which passes all understanding. And so, gracious God, I just pray for us this morning who are here today that no matter what we might face in this life, grant us peace and patience to see it through and to be a shining light to those who need to know Christ. And it's in your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.